Chapter 17. Arthur Roeder had not become the head of the United States Radium Corporation without being an astute and wily businessman. He was an expert negotiator, skilled in manipulating situations to his advantage. It was always wise, he considered, to keep your friends close, but one should always keep one's enemies closer. On 2nd of April, 1925, he invited Frederick Hoffman to the Orange Plant. The statistician, in fact, visited two or three times, noting in particular the lack of warning signs about lip pointing. And perhaps Roeder observed his notes, or maybe what happened next was simply part of the ongoing safety precautions the president had instructed Veidt to put in place. For on Hoffman's final visit, on Good Friday 1925, Roeder called his attention to new notices in the studio which commanded employees not to put the brushes in their mouths. Hoffman approved. "They had impressed me," he later said, "with improved conditions." Roeder knew what he was doing. With relations between the two men cordial, he pressed home his advantage. "I wish that I could persuade you," Roeder wrote Hoffman, "to defer publishing a paper on the subject of radium necrosis." He wanted Hoffman, he said, to have the opportunity to thoroughly investigate the subject. Hoffman responded genially, "I wish to express to you my sincere appreciation of the courtesy extended to me during my visit and of my own sympathy for the trying position in which you find yourself." However, Roeder was too late. "I find on looking over my file that an abstract of my paper was furnished to the American Medical Association some time ago for inclusion in the handbook which has gone to the printer. The paper is now out of my hands." Hoffman added that he had agreed to supply the Bureau of Labour Statistics, the government agency led by Ethelbert Stewart, with a copy of his report. One can only imagine Roeder's reaction to that news, although he had smoothly tried to allay the concerns of the Bureau as well. When Sven Kerr had interviewed Roeder that spring about Marguerite Carlow, Roeder told him frankly that he thought the ailment was not due to any cause in the factory. In fact, was probably an attempt to palm off something on the firm. At least the Carlow girl had given him an excuse to put off John Roach. When Roach had heard that the report supplied by the firm was a whitewash, he had immediately requested a full copy of the study. But Roeder had replied that, because of the Carlow suit, the matter has been placed in the hands of our New Jersey attorneys, Lindaberry, Depew and Fawkes, and I am consequently referring your request to Mr. Stryker of that firm. He said the same in response to Drinker's plea for him to publish the full study. "In view of the legal situation, I have taken no action in regard to submitting your paper for publication. We are not issuing any reports now except on advice of counsel." Now, however, the situation started to spiral out of Roeder's hands. Drinker began to lose patience with the president's continued stalling and wrote directly to Roach to find out exactly what the company had said of his study. Roach duly sent him Veidt's letter of 18th of June 1924, and Drinker was stunned to find that, just as Hamilton had told his wife, the company had lied. "We have both been deceived," he declared to Roach, "in our dealings with the United States Radium Corporation." He was so shocked by the firm's behaviour that he arranged a face-to-face meeting with Roeder in New York to confront him.